Well, let's spend some time in God's Word, which is just always a wonderful thing to do. And we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 2. Historically, we are living in what some people describe as the age of information. The amount of information that is readily available at our fingertips is unlike any time in history, where you can ask a little goofy little box like this, a computer or something, and ask it a question and immediately get an answer concerning all kinds of things. It's just a wealth of gathering information that's available. It wasn't available 40, 50 years ago to do that. It wasn't available 20 years ago almost to do what we can get as far as gathering information. We can get information on the weather really fast. I remember for years, the telephone service had a service, telephone company, whatever it was, had a service that was you dial a certain number and it had a recording of the current a very quick synopsis of the current weather. And I used it a lot when we were going to pour concrete. I had to know by 6 o'clock, I had to call the company and say, yes, we're taking the concrete, or no, we're not. So I'd have to get the information beforehand. And I did a lot of things. One of them was I'd make that phone call, but I'd walk outside and I'd kind of ask God whether it was going to work or not. But I used that service. But now, I just hit the weather button and I got all kinds of information. But we are in an age where the access to information is just unbelievable. But we have something greater than these tools of cell phones and computers and all that stuff. We have the creator of the heavens and earth, God Almighty. He got to be Almighty because He is Almighty. Who's a wealth of information. We have Him to go to also, that unbelievers don't have that access. They're limited to little things like this. As long as the batteries work or they have reception, they can maybe get some information. But I'm sure you've had times where you ask these phones things and it says, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, could you repeat that question? But God, He knows everything. Everything. Just incredible. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 2, which you're there, I'm sure. Verse 6. It's just, you know, it's been sitting there for centuries and centuries, but it's big. It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. A buckler is a shield, but sometimes they had like points on it, so you can use it defensively or you can use it offensively by sticking that shield into somebody and it would, you know, like stab them. But that's what God does for us. He helps protect us, and he's our offense when we need things cleared out in front of us for us to walk. He's both things for us. But the Lord gives wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And we can tap into that. Just like we can tap into these goofy phones, we can tap into the knowledge that God has. And like He said in Manifestations, we've got His attention. He's ready. He's listening. He's waiting. Let's go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I remember when I was first getting into Word being flabbergasted that God Almighty could give you information. Just shocked. Just absolutely shocked. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, let all the earth fear or reverence the Lord. I'm in the wrong one. That's 33. Sorry. It's a nice verse there, but it wouldn't go where I wanted to go. All right, verse 8 and 32 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse, or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in, and bit and bridle. But they come near unto thee. So he will guide us with his eye. He will teach us, instruct us. Let's go to Psalm 25. You don't have to go very far to see so many verses that deal with God giving information, instructing, teaching, warning. And who better to get that information than the guy who knows it all? You ever get instructed on something and it turns out the person didn't know what the heck they were saying, but they acted like they knew what they were saying? Mm-hmm. They're the most dangerous. They sound like they know what they're talking about, but they really don't. Sometimes they say they know enough to be dangerous. You know, they're just, here's what you do to fix it. You do that, and it's worse. At least when you sound dumb, they say, thanks for the info, but I think I'll try something. But he knows all. I mean, we have that. That's just perfect. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Even sinners, people who just are contrary to him, he is willing to teach them. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep the covenant and his mercy, his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth or reverences the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Or that he shall choose. But one of the things that keeps coming up here is meekness. Meekness is the ability to be taught. It's a coachability. If you've ever tried to give information to somebody that thinks they know what they're doing and refuses to accept information, it's difficult to communicate what you're trying to communicate. But if a person's meek, they're coachable, they're willing to receive and weigh the information and carry it out, then it'll work. And that's who God works with. Not that he doesn't want to work with sinners, it's just that most of the time if they're contrary to God and his word, they're not going to listen and carry it out. They're not maybe meek. But the meek are the ones that will benefit from the instruction that God's willing to give. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. We need meekness in order to receive information. I recently hired a guy, it didn't last very long, I think about a week or so, as a laborer. And boy, he was only like 20, 21 years old, and he knew everything about everything. He said he's done everything and knows how to do it. And so I put him on a couple things and I thought, I think I've been lied to. So then I tried to instruct him. Oh, no, you don't have to tell me. I already know already. So, okay. I wasn't able to teach him a thing. So I said, you know, I don't think we're a good fit with one another. Here's your paycheck. So, chapter 4, here's Moses. This is when God had called Moses to go do a very small job, which would be to leave the wilderness and go save Israel out of the grips of Egypt. Israel was enslaved for hundreds of years and had no power, no say in the Egyptian government. And Moses, as an 80-year-old guy, was supposed to walk into Egypt and say, "Let my people go." Just a little task. So, understandably so, he's a little concerned about that he doesn't have what it takes to do this job. So he's got his arguments with God, one of which is that he doesn't speak very well. I'm not a very good talker. So God had a solution for him, which was to have his brother talk for him. Verse 12, it says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." He was going to guide him as to what to tell him when he got there. He says, "Yeah, but I don't speak very well." So then he works it out where he gets Aaron, his brother, to speak for him, and that God would tell Moses what to tell Aaron, and Aaron would do the physical talking. And in verse 15, it says, "And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do." Now, this was an incredible job that he had, and as we know, he did it. But let's see one reason why he was able to carry this out. And that's it. The answer is in Numbers chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Meekness was required to gain the benefit, as we saw in Psalms. God was able to instruct meek people. It was a benefit to them. And God is sending Moses out to do a job that's just incredible. And in Numbers chapter 12, this is God working. This is later on. You know, Moses does go out, and they do get out of Egypt and all that. And they're on the other side of into the wilderness at this point. And there's a little problem that went on. And in chapter 12, verse 3, we're going to pick it up with verse 1. "And Miriam and Aaron," Miriam is Aaron's wife, "spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." And they're having a little husband-wife talking. You know that Moses, I can't believe he married an Ethiopian woman. Unbelievable. Verse 3, "Now the man Moses was" what? "Very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." No wonder he was selected to go talk to Pharaoh. Look at the job he had to have. And look at the guiding that God had to wiggle him through all that stuff. And if he argued and argued and argued, it probably would have never happened. But he kept, okay, this is what you want me to do. I'm going to talk to the most powerful man on the earth. I'm going to go to a country, back to a country that I was a prince in and fled for my life as an 80-year-old. There's only one person here who's over 80. You know, the rest of us are young, and sometimes things like that seem like a big chore. You know, 80-year-old guy. Verse 4, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam." And here he says, "Come out, ye three." Sounds like a father with his kids. "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth, and he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed." But look how God said, hey, even with a prophet, I'm a little, you know, I don't give all the information in it that, you know, I just give what I need to give. But this guy Moses, look, it's an open door of information to him. You shouldn't have been speaking like that to my man Moses. That's pretty, but the thing is he was meek. Let's go to Psalm 27. So if we want that information, we want information from God Almighty, one way of that one thing that we can do is we can be meek towards God and the information He's willing to give us. Let's Psalm 27, verse 11. Says, this is David as a psalmist. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Teach me. David wanted to be taught. That's a key to receiving information from God. He wanted to be taught. Sometimes I just don't want to be taught. I'm like, I'm good. Not too often is that I kick myself in the butt when I realize I'm thinking that way. But, you know, we all get to a point where sometimes we think, I'm good. But we want to stay hungry. We want to be taught. We want to grow. Not everybody, though, wants to know about God. That's amazing to me. They don't want to know what His Word says. But teach me thy way. He wanted to be taught. 2 Samuel. Back a few pages, books, 2 Samuel. We're going to look at an illustration of the benefit of David being taught by God Almighty. 2 Samuel chapter 22. David wanted to be taught.
You got it.
2 Samuel 22. Verse 35. David was a king, he was a warrior, he was a lot of different things. He was a prophet. 2 Samuel 22, verse 35. By revelation, he says, He teaches my hands, referring to God. God teaches His hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. God did the teaching. Just like God instructed Moses how to get out of that wilderness, how to get into Egypt, how to approach the Pharaoh, what to say, what to do, how to maneuver, when to say, hey, look, we're going. If you don't do something, this is what's going to happen to you. All that was guided by God. None of it was in the scriptures. It was all revelation. God worked with him. And in this situation, God taught David how to war. How to war. War is not a great thing, but it is necessary. Time to stay alive. Somebody's coming to beat you up. You're either going to fight back or die. That's called war. Let's go as an example of that. Let's see 2 Samuel chapter 5. Here's David. He's a king at this point, and the Philistines got a little riled up that David was a king, and they were going to come get him. Chapter 5, verse 17. Just see how an illustration of how he taught him how to war. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. It's a fortress. And they didn't come to hear him like, oh, this is terrific. They're coming to get him. Verse 18, and the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord. So he's asking God, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Now, it doesn't. It's not a guarantee that any, like a general, is going to ask God, hey, what should I do? I see the obvious, they're coming up to try to get me. What should I do? You know, do I ask God in circumstances, okay, what should I do? Or do I just use my five senses information? Verse 20. Now let's verse 19 again. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines without deliver them into my hand? The Lord said unto David, go, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-Pezerim, And David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Pizarim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, there he is again asking God, what should I do? Inquired of the Lord, he could have said, hey, I'll do what I did last time. I'll just go down like he said. Nope. He inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. Last time he said, yeah, go ahead, take them, they're yours. Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry tree. So he's giving them some tactile information. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. He's getting real detailed. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. So he could have said, ah, that's a stupid idea. Just because the mulberry trees are windy, you know, it's windy and that's a stupid time to go. He could have. But David inquired, and David apparently was meek to the instruction and went with it. Isn't that great? But an access to information that you could not necessarily get out of this. You could say, okay, what would be the best situation? Well, according to Ron, it would be data-based. That's it. Data-based at best. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel is full of this stuff. We're only going to look at one little record. Daniel kept asking God for information, and usually it dealt with life and death circumstances, this being one of them. He needed some information or else they were going to kill him and a lot of other people. Chapter 2, verse 17. Daniel chapter 2. And it says, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. You know, he's asking them to pray for the circumstance. We do this all the time. Hey, can you pray for can you beseech God for this? Can you, you know, pray, let's pray together on this. Verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Oh, hallelujah. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Yep. He's now going to live and not die. That's exciting. Daniel answered and said, blessed it be the name of God forever and ever, for windows... Wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings, and he giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God, God of my father, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. But Daniel asked, and he asked his buddies to pray that that God would give them the information, and he did. So it's not only good to know that God's willing to give the goodies, slip us the information, but it's good to know how we get it. And one way is that we simply ask. Just simply ask the question. We inquire of the Lord. We are, you know, stay meek to it, willing to say, okay, God knows what he's talking about. Sometimes the information's a lot different than what you would expect. And you'd say, you know, I'm probably not getting this right. It must be me thinking this goofy stuff up. But God's very clear. We're going to end in, we're going to end in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Sometimes we don't, you know, God gives us information before we ask. Look at the shepherds that were in the fields the day the night that Jesus Christ was born. God sent an angel down to them and said, "Hey, the Christ is born, and I want you to go see him," and told them what to do. Now, they weren't asking, "Hey, is Jesus Christ going to be born today?" I don't know. They knew he was going to be coming, but didn't know when. And all of a sudden, boom, he gave them the information. Sometimes he beats us to it. He lays it on us before we even consider it. You know, just the way it is. It's his choosing. But when we do ask, it is available if he chooses to give it. 2 Kings chapter 4. And sometimes we don't know. And we do the best we can with the knowledge of God that we have and life and living. Chapter 4, verse 28. This is about the prophet Elijah. A woman came to him who had a son, and the son died, young guy. And she goes to him for help. Verse 28. Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" And he said unto Gehazi, we're starting in the wrong verse here. I've got 28, but it shouldn't be. Verse 27. And when she came, this woman came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi, who was Elijah's servant, came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her." By five senses, he could tell. She's a little upset. Well, of course, her son just died. "And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." You know, he's a man who walked with God. He sees the situation, and he didn't know ahead of time that this had happened. But now it's in front of him, and he recognizes, you know, God hasn't shown me what to do, but he can show me. Verse 28, then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" And he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." So that's what he was directing to have done. And the mother of the child said, "Hey, wait a minute. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he's like, "Okay, I'm going to." "All right, fine, I'm going to go." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awake." And when Elijah was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Anytime I read these records, I always try to put myself in the circumstance. You know, like, you know, to walk into a house. Now, there are a lot of houses we know of. You know, like if I was to go into John and Peggy's house, I would just picture, you know, there's a dead person in there. And I'm going in there to hopefully do something. You know, it's a real circumstance. And it's not just like a story. And I always try to put myself in those circumstances. Like, all right, what would I do? So he goes into that bedroom, and there's this dead kid on the bed. And the thing he does is he prays unto the Lord. He doesn't know what to do yet. All he knows is God hadn't showed him much. Verse 34, and he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. It says God inspired him to do what he's doing. I mean, there's a lot of ways of raising somebody up. This is what God showed him to do. Get on that kid and just lay on him. Put your And that's, you know, he's a dead kid. His mouth upon his mouth. You know, just think of him. Remember that record in the Gospels that this leprous guy approached Jesus Christ and asked for healing? And it says that Jesus Christ held him, hugged him. You know, gotta be creepy. You know, sometimes stuff is a little gross to deal with, but. And also you can catch that leprosy. But Jesus Christ hugged him. That's what God showed him to do. And the guy got healed. So anyway. Verse 35. And then he returned. You know, the kid warmed up. It doesn't say he was alive. He could have been warmed up just because this man is laying on top of him for a while. Body's starting to warm up. He got up, but the kid didn't get up too. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, walking and walking, pacing, moving around, trying to get, asking God what to do. And he finally must have got it, because he goes back up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. How about that? And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and when she would come in unto him, he said, "Take up your son." Isn't that great? But he asked, he stayed meek, he did whatever it was that God showed him, which may not have been the most pleasant thing to do, and did it. Just amazing. Now, the next kid that died, Gehazi said, "Hey, Elijah, last time you laid on him and you did all this, are you going to do that again?" It's a walk. Every circumstance can be different, or every circumstance could be the same thing. God tells you to do it the same way, over and over. It's a walk. He walked with God. He knew that God hadn't showed him what had happened. That's how much he walked with God. He was like, "Oh, God's hid it from me." But he eventually got the skinny on what to do. And in James it says to ask God, if you lack wisdom, ask him. He giveth liberally or generously to those that ask. It's certainly available. It's definitely available. We have a flow of information that makes this look stupid. They call these smartphones, you know. But it makes this thing look stupid. Like, that's all you got? Really? So, but, and we have it available to us, and we continue to grow in that. I mean, we are growing in an understanding of how to walk with God, and it's terrific. And there are thousands and millions, perhaps, of people around the earth that are learning how to receive revelation, learning how to walk and gain the information from God's Word as far as some specifics in learning. This is the best way to learn, obviously. This is God's primary source of information, His written Word. But it doesn't cover every circumstance. And that's where the wisdom and knowledge He gives by way of revelation and other things is how He works with all that rest of that stuff, the details. Otherwise, the book would be, how big would the book to cover every circumstance of every person's life that will ever live on earth? We'd never get the book read. So it's an easy way to go. "Hey, God, what do I do?" Well, you do this, or you don't do this, or you say, "Shh." It's interesting. Really interesting how God communicates. And He works differently with all of us. He's got to do a lot to wake me up and teach me. Some people are, you know, everybody's a little different. But God is willing to work with every born-again believer, how we are. As long as we're meek, we're asking Him, we're looking to Him, He's got something to work with. Whether our brains work good or not, He'll work with us. You know what I mean? With our understanding. It's amazing. So, anyway, it's a privilege to be able to do this, and we help each other with it, to grow in it, you know, by sharing the knowledge, by helping one another to do it, and it's nice. It's a great way to live.